Amen. Well, that's some awesome worship. I am excited about this week, and it's not because it's in my job description. It's because I really believe it. Oh, by the way, Julie Protzman, nice to have you back for a day. Yay. Julie and Sean used to go here, and then I made them mad. They moved to Oklahoma City. But she used to be a constant part of our worship team, and it was great to see her back on the platform. Hey, seriously, this week, I am genuinely excited. It's not because we put these things on the calendar. It's because of the things that I anticipate they're going to happen. I mean, some of you are really, really going to be moved on by the Holy Spirit. Some of you are going to learn some things you never knew about the Holy Spirit. Some of you are going to be inspired about the working of the Holy Spirit. And some of you are going to incorporate Him more in your life than ever before. And guess what I ended for last? And many of you are going to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason I put that last is because sometimes we always put that first. We tend to kind of confuse the narrative with that expectation. And we're not going to make that mistake in our Holy Spirit conference. Now, we have five services this morning, tonight, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and I just hope that you can be at all of that. Obviously, you can invite anyone. This is open for the entire community. Matter of fact, I had another pastor in the community call and say, hey, you know, I see you got this conference going. Can we come? And I said, absolutely, and bring your tithe. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that at all. I didn't say that at all. But, yeah, so I'm really, really excited about what's going on. Today, I want to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. And before we do that, I just want to ask a question. Hi, Wade, how are you? Can you stand to your feet, please? I have an important question to ask you. Wade, who is the Vice President of the United States of America? Who? Somebody help him out. Now, Wade, that was horrible. Forgive me. You may be seated. You know, I realize. So, Wade, who is the president of the United States of America? Donald Trump. Okay, did you vote for him? Another pressure question. Okay. Hey, listen, the reason I ask that is that the Holy Spirit, in many ways, is like that question. He's not the point guard, if you will. Jesus usually is the point guard in the New Testament church. We see God throughout the Bible, throughout our existence. So we're not questioning either one of those in their participation. But too often, the Holy Spirit becomes that question. You know, we have to go and look it up or whatever. But isn't it interesting? The vice president is one breath away from being the guy in charge. Now, that's not true with the Holy Spirit. He's involved in everything that Jesus does, everything that God the Father does. We'll talk about that later on. But it's important that we don't relegate Him to a reference or we have to go and look Him up, but instead that we involve ourselves in the full role that He plays in our life. And that's why we want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And anticipate that anticipation of all that. Last year, we had Phil Taylor with us, and he had these books. We have 75 of them. And I would encourage you, those of you who would like to know more about the Holy Spirit and read about it and far beyond the services, because a lot of times in the service you glean something, but it doesn't go into the area of knowledge. It doesn't come in there real rock solid learning. Instead, it kind of becomes the inspiration of the moment. And I would encourage you to take his book. We are going to have some on the back. There's some in the information stations, and we bought them for $5, but they're free. If you want one, grab it. If you want to throw a couple of bucks in the offering later on, we're not worried about that. What I do want is I want our congregation and those of you who would like to know as much as you can about the Holy Spirit, and not for five services during this week, but for every part of your life. I'd like to read you just a little excerpt of his book. Of course, it's really cool when you really, really respect and know the man who wrote the book. Pastor Phil Taylor is the pastor of Carbondale Assembly of God, and he was here with us last year, if you remember him. But this is what he says in his book. He says, as a Pentecostal believer, all of my life, it is fascinating to me how little we seem to know about the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, what a response to Him should be, and what He desires to do in and through us, His church. The Holy Spirit is not jealous of the attention we give to the Father and to the Son, for Jesus said in John 16:14, that the Holy Spirit would glorify Jesus. However, we have too often overlooked the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Many people would argue we as Pentecostals, and sometimes you throw in there charismatics, have overemphasized the Holy Spirit. The truth is, we have emphasized one dimension of the work of the Holy Spirit over many others. We have emphasized that baptism in the Holy Spirit and the manifestations of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. But we really haven't focused on all of the Spirit's involvement in our lives and the life of the church. My desire is that we gain a new understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what He is desiring to do in each of us. I'm not trying to sell a book. I'm trying to sell you on deeply getting involved in the information, the knowledge, and the application of the Holy Spirit in your life. That is the power that we're looking for and we're going to talk about this week. Because the truth of the matter is, all of us need more and more and more power. We need discernment. We need guidance. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need Him working in our life. And I'm going to say this very respectfully. I love it when there's a message in tongues in the church. I love it when there's an interpretation so the church can be edified. I love when there's prophecy in the church. But if your one and only exposure to the Holy Spirit is what somebody else said and somebody else interpreted, then you know what? There's a lot that you're missing. And God wants to work in you every day. There's in every aspect of your life, there are times when you have to make a decision and the Holy Spirit wants to tell you what to do, show you what to do. I'm telling you, if you could see what your decision would have done, where it would lead you, what it would end up being happening in your life, wouldn't you love to have that insight? The Holy Spirit can give you that. There's so many times that the Holy Spirit intervenes and we see how that this decision, although it didn't make sense to us, we weren't exactly sure what was happening, but how it ended up, the results were obviously only accredited to the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. So let me take you to Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. It says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This is the scriptural reference to when the actual infilling, if you will, of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples in the New Testament. Jesus said, "Go to Jerusalem and tarry there, and I will send you the promise of the Father." And this is what happened right there. And that's why we are called Pentecostals, because on this day, Pentecost, it was the day of Pentecost in the New Testament church, in the Jewish calendar. Now, we just had Easter a little while ago. You have to keep reminding yourself that when Easter happens for us, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But previous to that, what did He observe with His disciples at the Lord's table? What was it? It was Passover. Passover. 50 days after the Passover in the Jewish calendar was Pentecost. It was a feast. It was a celebration of the end of the harvest. Now, I'm throwing a whole lot at you in a short period of time, but I'm telling you, I'm just trying to get you the calendar reference. We're not Pentecostals because you just dream that up. It happened on the day of Pentecost, some 50 days removed from Passover, also removed from when Christ rose from the dead for us that are Christians. And it was on this day, the day of Pentecost, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened to these believers, and that's why we attach ourselves to it. I believe, and we believe as Pentecostals, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you, many of you have had the experience to where you really didn't feel like you had an option. The way it was preached, the way it was taught, you were just force-fed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm telling you, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I will convince, I will encourage, I will motivate you, whatever, to go to the baptism of the Holy Spirit as quickly as I possibly can. There are some powerful things that you will never have in your life if you don't get there. However, let me just remind you, that doesn't mean you're a second-class citizen or Christian if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is not a heaven and hell issue. You know what I mean by that? If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean you're going to go straight to heaven. That doesn't mean you're going to go to hell either if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Though that doesn't, it's not a determining factor as to whether you go one place or the other. And too often we kind of make it, or at least it feels that way. So you know what? If it feels that way, then a lot of people put a lot of effort, human effort, physical effort, emotional effort, spiritual effort into trying to be baptized in the Holy Spirit instead of just letting the Spirit do His work. So that's why we deal with these things. Now, I will say this, that the Assemblies of God has an official posture on this, that we believe that the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the speaking of tongues, in accordance with what we did in Acts the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. However, just like Phil said a few minutes ago, we highly emphasize that event, that experience, at the expense of all of the other things that the Holy Spirit does. In his book alone, you'll see that he talks about the 77, not a few, not two or three, 77 different aspects of the way the Holy Spirit is involved in our life. Don't you just feel like you're at a seminar selling real estate right now? Don't you just feel like I'm supposed to sign you up and you come to my website and whatever? It almost feels like that, doesn't it? I'm trying to make sure that I don't go there, go slow enough to where we're still exposed to what the Holy Spirit does versus a bunch of information. Sometimes information overload overwhelms us. However, I'll tell you this much. There's a lot of you in here, because of the lack of what you know, you don't go. I said that just now. I just made that up. I'm going to write it down and write a book that says that. Because if you don't know, you don't go. And everybody's going to laugh and go, that's a stupid book. I agree. But seriously, because of what we don't know, there's so much we don't trust the Holy Spirit for. We don't expect Him to show up. I mean, there's all kinds of things. You know, who's got a birthday today? Anybody have a birthday today? Anybody have a birthday this week? Yeah. You know why I didn't show up? Because I wasn't invited. And I didn't know you had a birthday. So happy birthday to you. You know, it's there you go. I mean, the awareness immediately. So, of course, Jordan wants everybody to pat her on the back and give her a $5 bill. Today we have the opportunity to just sit back and say, Father, help us know what you want in our life. Too often I tell the story, but it's my story, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'll condense it real quick. All I know is I met these people, and they were full of so much joy, I was envious. I was going to church. I'd been at this church for about a little over a year and a half, and we did all the right things. We read the Bible. We went to Sunday school. We prayed. We gave. But there wasn't a whole lot of joy there. It felt a whole lot of obligation than joy. And then I met these people, and they were just so full of God. They smiled. They loved. I was an athlete. One of the guys that I met was an athlete. Athletes don't smile. We're tough. Isn't that right, Bob? We don't grin. We bleed. You know, I mean, that's, if you were an athlete under Bob's coaching, you bled. But anyway, you know, that's the kind of thing, you know, tough guys and all this other stuff. This guy was so full of joy, but it wasn't that fancy stuff. It wasn't weird. It was something that I just was drawn to it. So, man, we started asking questions. Next thing I know, I end up in this Pentecostal church. I didn't know it was Pentecostal at that point. I didn't know what Assembly of God was. I just know that that's where they go. So I went down there. I'm in this church service, and I'd heard a lot of things. Matter of fact, the Sunday school superintendent, the church I was going to, made this statement. If you're going to go down there to that church, because there was a lot of people going down there because the Holy Spirit was doing a very genuine thing. There was a very unique revival that had cut through, and it was happening in the whole Southeast. Said, if you go down there, you might as well pick up tongues in one hand and a snake on the other. I'm going, I don't know what you're talking about, Jack, but snakes involved? I don't think so. But I didn't know why. It was just weird. And I walked in. I had no idea about snake worship and all this other stuff. And that's another video. YouTube it. You'll have a lot of fun. So I did. All these people are just so excited. I'm going, this is crazy. And sure enough, there's this lady about four people down from me, popped off in tongues. I'm going, what is that? And next thing you know, somebody over here starts interpreting. I'm going, what is that? And then everybody starts raising their hands, they broke the first rule when I got there. They were smiling all the time. They were talking in church. You're not supposed to talk in church. When the worship happened, their hands were up. They're just, that's crazy people. And the music, it was a little fast. It was good. They didn't go, amazing. I mean, Amazing Grace was kicking some, it was awesome. It was all kinds of stuff. It was really, really neat stuff. I was drawn to it immediately. Well, long story short, I met this guy named Rick Berlin. He taught karate. I started taking karate from him. Don't worry, it didn't take. So, you know, we're doing all this stuff. But this guy, we accused him of putting a clothes hanger in his mouth because he had a permanent smile affixed to his face. I saw him driving down the road one day. I'm driving this way. His car's coming there, and he's smiling. I could count his teeth. I'm going, good grief. He's like that all the time. So I started hanging around Rick, which was my first mistake because, man, I saw the joy of the Lord in this guy. And I started asking questions, which was my second mistake. My third mistake, I started praying about it. The next thing you know, I end up in his apartment one night after I had been leading a team on evangelism explosion. Listen, I wasn't some dead-in-the-water Christian. I was out there doing the things I was supposed to do. I was leading evangelistic teams. We were knocking on doors, telling people about Jesus, but there was something missing. I ended up at Rick's house. I said, Rick, all I know, and this is what I told him in a short period of time, I said, all I know is I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I want to live a consistent life for Jesus Christ. I'm tired of this up-and-down stuff. And the up-and-down wasn't that I'm living for God, reading my Bible, and I'm back here drinking or any of that garbage. It was just the inconsistency in the joy of my flow. That's all there is to it. And he started telling me about the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he, you know, came, died, left, sent the Holy Spirit back. So I said, man, I want that. He said, well, let's pray. So I got down on my knees, which I didn't do that a whole lot. He said, put your hands up. I didn't do that a whole lot, you know. And we prayed and nothing happened. So I left and he said, David, I'll tell you what. He said, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for those who seek the Holy Spirit. You go home and you seek. You keep praying. You keep reading. And that's exactly what I did. For 2 weeks, nothing happened. But I noticed the minute that I prayed, something happened. Something was different inside. And I love saying this because I've said it so many times. I started loving people I didn't even like. It's crazy. God did this change in my life. And I thought the change was back when I gave up all the stuff I did before I gave my heart to Jesus over a year and a half ago. But now this difference in me was something else. It was contagious. And I knew that was close, but I knew I hadn't gotten what I really, really wanted. There was something missing. So 2 weeks later, I go back over there. There's another guy named Larry Carr. I know Larry to this day. And Larry was there asking the same questions I was, and it was time for him to pray. So Rick said, hey, Dave, won't you help me pray for Larry? And I'm sitting there, I'm praying for this guy like I'm a veteran or something. I remember the last time we did this. And I'm praying for this guy. Next thing you know, I get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking with other tongues, and it was just cool. Now, whether that sounds foreign to you or not, I'm sorry. Because I don't mean to make anybody feel uncomfortable. I'm just telling you, you know what? This world has trained you to keep things a little on the down go. The world has taught you, say, you know, keep it kind of under control. Stay in this natural realm. Yeah, let God be God. You be happy a little bit, but that's for church. But this all, you know, 24/7, 7 days a week? I don't think so. Well, now I'm telling him I don't think so. Because God is in our lives. And there's more coming. And there's more that he wants to do. I want to take you to Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 14. I want to show you just for a second, you know, what God did using Jesus' example. Now, a lot of people want to know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is that subsequent? In other words, is that after salvation? Well, it can happen at salvation, but it's two different works of the Holy Spirit. You see, in John, the 20th chapter, the Bible says that Jesus saw his disciples after he had been raised from the dead, and the Bible says that he breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, you got to take that in the context of what happens in John, the 3rd chapter. Jesus meets Nicodemus, and he says, Nicodemus, listen. That is born of the flesh is flesh. That is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And so you know what? When we get saved, yes, the Holy Spirit comes in our life, but it's not to be confused with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 14. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it may be bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, all this power I will give to you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only, and serve him. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thy dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Father, I pray for the next few moments, these next few brief moments, that we can see the life of Jesus and how it lines up with our life concerning the involvement of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, cause our hearts to be sensitive to what you're saying. Cause our minds to listen and to adhere to the information. Cause our spirit to align with yours so that our lives will be different because of who you are and what you do in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 14. It starts out by saying, Jesus was full of the Spirit. Then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is a little side note. But if you're going to be full of the Spirit and be led of the Spirit, sometimes you're going to be headed straight to the wilderness. This isn't God's going to escape you, let you escape everything in the world. He's going to take you through it, but you're probably going to face a lot of it. Then he was tempted by the devil. We understand all of that. And then the Bible says that he returned in the power of the Spirit. The reason this is so important, because Jesus did some things for our necessity. He did these things so that we would have the same access to the same power that he used when he was tempted. A lot of times we think of Jesus as this unique person who was God-man, but you know, he didn't have any really problems. He probably just did this stuff. No, there's sometimes that he took his divinity off, if you will, and walked through this world of the power of the Holy Spirit because he knew we were going to have to do the same thing. We were going to need his example. Let me just tell you something. If somebody tells you to go out and dig a hole, it'd be a good idea to take a shovel. Hello? If you're going to get saved and live this life, it'd be a really good idea if you incorporate the ministry of the Holy Spirit in everything that you do. Because Jesus is in heaven. We know he's in our heart. Don't get me wrong. We know he's in heaven. But what did he say? I'm leaving and I'm going to send somebody back to you. He's the counselor. He's the helper. He's your power. He's your strength. And on and on and on. It says in verse 1, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. That word full literally means something replenished to the point that it is covered up. Something that has been replenished or replaced to the point that it's covered up. I brought this out here and I did not bring any water because I knew what would happen if I did. But if you took this picture and you poured it into this vase or whatever, and of course, if you filled it up and you kept pouring, it would spill over. There's a whole lot of people that this is their vessel, but it's only half full. It's half full of church attendance. It's half full of some things that we do for God. We hit in the Bible and every now and then. We pray on occasion. And you know what? That level of spirit isn't in there. And that's why we keep dipping into the world and into the spirit, into the world and the spirit. And that's why we're up and down and up and down. And the Bible says that we need to be like Jesus, who was full of the Holy Spirit. A lot of us live on impulse. We live on a good feeling. We live on a couple of goosebumps. We feel on, oh, that was a good service. But we need to live on the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's what it means. So when we see this in the context of that, our desire isn't to be touched by God so that we feel a little better. Because quite honestly, I've lived a lot of my life that when I sin, I want to feel good again. I want to be forgiven so I can feel better about myself. But God says, you know what? What I want to do is I want to redeem you. I want to bring you back to the person that you really, really should be, the person that I created you to be, even at birth, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's what I want. I don't want you to feel better about yourself. I don't want to pick up. I don't need a pep talk. I want to be filled of the Holy Spirit. And once you're full of the Holy Spirit, then you can be led of the Spirit. I want you to see the progression here in Jesus' life and in our life. You know what? There's a lot of times we want God to do big things in our life, but because we're not full of the Holy Spirit, we don't see a whole lot of results, and we get frustrated. We don't know what's going on. Listen, sometimes we just need to stop and say, you know what? I need to concentrate on getting full. You ever just played tricks with that little gas gauge? Come on, I got 10 more gallons. What? I got 10 more miles, whatever. And every now and then you get caught, don't you? Well, you idiot. I'm sorry. I apologize. I really do. I didn't mean to call you an idiot. Because there's a better name for it. Uninformed. Risky. Whatever you would call it. But somewhere around the half a gallon mark, you should have thought about this. And you should have done something about it, you know. But listen, that's a physical thing that doesn't matter. I don't care. You just as long as you get to the gas station, right? But a lot of us live our spiritual lives like that. As long as I get to church, as long as I pray tomorrow, as long as this, as long as that. What a horrible circumstance. Being full of the Holy Spirit so we can be led by the Spirit. Let me take you there. In verse 1, it also says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, that word led has a double connotation. The first is to bring. To bring. The first is to bring. It literally means that we are led by the Holy Spirit by His invitation. The Holy Spirit's never going to invade your privacy or your personal space and say, you better do this, you better do that. Now, God's pretty good. He works really, really well with conviction. Condemnation's man's idea of getting you to do something. God just was always constantly asking and inviting. Remember the prodigal son? His dad didn't send somebody after him. He waited for his son to come home, but the invitation was always there. We're going to be one again. So led by the Holy Spirit. It literally means to be really pulled along, if you will. To bring something means that we're going to pull it along with us. It's drawn into His presence and into His will to be directed and guided. It's like someone pointing the way. It's like somebody clearing the path. I use this word a lot. When I was so compelled. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not mystical. He may be mysterious, but He's not mystical. You don't have to find some secret map. You don't have to know some secret code. You just need to let Him compel you to do things because He will bring you along. You know, one of the greatest things that happens to that is awareness. He allows us to be aware of things that are around us. Sometimes we can meet total strangers and we don't know anything about them, but God just gives us an awareness about them. Maybe sometimes when you make eye contact or you hear their story, God opens up a little chapter in your book through the Holy Spirit and says, why don't you respond to this? It gives us that sense of awareness as He brings us to a circumstance that we're looking at. Listen, my grandma, she was an awesome cook. All we had to do is be in the other room and smell it. We were compelled to go to the kitchen. We were not allowed, but we were compelled. Thank goodness the Holy Spirit has a little bit more of an open door policy. But man, it was amazing how that worked. The other part of that is to drive. You know, where one is to bring or to pull you, another way is to drive. Now, here's where we don't like this, because it sounds like the Holy Spirit's a little pushy. It's not pushy at all. I'm talking about where He just kind of points you in a direction. That word drive sounds negative, but it's not at all. It's this unmistakable force that sometimes we call it like behind us or whatever, that thrust us into His will. It's Him pointing us in the direction that we need to come. And it's amazing. It's that which overwhelmingly takes us into the place of somebody else's life. It's really cool. Man, time and time and time again, and many of you have the same story. You just started seeing things line up that you wouldn't have planned. You didn't plan this. You were going to go here, but you ended up here. You weren't going to do this. You were going to do that. And next thing you know, you find yourself into somebody's life, and they needed you to step into their life. I got to tell you, this is no special thing. This is about everybody. But I love going to the hospital, because every time I go to the hospital, I know what my destination is. And right now with Kathy Ellis, it's the sixth floor, room number 16. I know where I'm going. But all along that trail, there are people that are hurting. And I usually just say, God, you need to use me, use me. I've stepped into ICU rooms, and I'm visiting with a family, and there's another family over here. And it is so cool how that before we pray, said, hey, I noticed you're here too. Would you like to come and pray with us? I mean, man, they are wide open. Their hearts are broken. The report's not good. The issue is still uncertain. Are they going to live? They're going to make it. Oh, my God just leads these things. Oh, He opens these doors. He does that to just seeing people all over the place. And it's a powerful thing that He does. The cool thing, it's talking about how that God allows us to recognize the need in other people's lives. That desperation in their lives. And it's not because everything is horrible. Sometimes it's really, really good. I remember Jason Morris, a good friend of mine, when we were in youth ministry, he said, he was a youth pastor down in Salisaw. He said, one night, took our kid to Brahms, what we always do on Sunday night after church, we go to Brahms, we're all eating, and there's this kid up at the register, we'd already made our purchase, and God says, I want you to go up there and tell that kid that I love him. And I said, literally, I told God, I said, no, you don't. He said, no, and he said, I just couldn't get away from this. And finally, he said, you know, like how we often do, we kind of disarm the thing. He said, I went up there and said, hey, dude, I didn't need to order anything. I said, but listen, God told me, And if this is weird, that's okay. You know, we don't want anybody to think it's weird, whatever. He's disarming the whole thing with all this verbiage. He said, but the bottom line is God told me that he wanted me to come up here and just tell you that he really loves you. And he said, I was waiting for the chuckle or the look like, so, you know, whatever. He said, the guy starts crying. This kid behind the counter, he says, you have no idea what that means to me. How many times have you heard that? You preface a miracle with something like it, you have no idea what that means to me. He said, I told God this morning, I felt so lonely, so out of it, that if he didn't show up, if I didn't know that he really loved me, that I was going to end my life. And you know what? He just showed up. Wow. Isn't that cool? I'm going to tell you what. Chance that all you want, but only the Holy Spirit can line that up. Only the Holy Spirit can line that up. He made a point of sending him to that guy. The third thing is after Jesus was full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and then he was in the wilderness, he was tempted of the devil, then he comes back into the city of Jerusalem with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit. I like the word power. I hate the word dead battery. I went to put this thing on this morning, you know, and the battery was dead. I'm going, but I had some other batteries. So I got all fired up again. And too bad, here you are, you're listening to me. He returned in the power of the Spirit. In the Greek, this word isn't just power, it's miraculous power. This isn't hey, plug in a couple of batteries, turn on the light, hook up, you know, the generator. No, this is miraculous power, power that comes out of nowhere and can only be generated by God. Because God wants us, are you ready for this? You can contest this all you want, but you will never convince me this isn't Scripture. God wants us to have the power to do the miraculous. You are not God. You do not save people. You're not the Holy Spirit, but you're a vessel He can use to do the miraculous. I'm going to tell you what, that young man behind that register at Brahms and Salisaw over 2 decades ago, that was a miraculous moment that only God could have put together. And many of you have those in your life as well. Isn't it amazing how God, through the Holy Spirit's involvement, can give you confidence in prayer? We don't pray rolling the dice. We don't pray flipping a coin. We don't pray hoping this will work out. We pray in confidence. And we're not worried about what the outcome will be. That's up to God. But I get to pray in confidence. I've told a lot of people this lately. Listen, I get to pray any prayer I can or any prayer I want. But I just don't get to answer it. You know, in this wisdom and the relationship I have with the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to be an idiot and pray for a palace or Rolls Royce or, well, I don't know. Of course I'm not. You know, I'm waiting to get my airplane later on. We don't play stupid prayers like that. God can take you, whatever God can provide. But I'm talking about the common sense stuff that puts us in the position to be used of God. Now, also in that verse of Scripture, in verse 6, the Bible says that the devil offered to give Jesus power. This is a different Greek word, and it simply means authority or jurisdiction. Satan will never give up his leverage. Satan's not going to share anything with anybody, but he will give you a false sense of presence. He will let you think that you're doing this, that, and the other. He'll let you think that it's okay to do these little bitty sins, that it's not any big deal. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people here throughout the Claremore area today that he doesn't care if you know you need to get saved. Just wait until tomorrow to do it. Just today's not the day to do it. He's got all kinds of things up his sleeve, and that's what he did. Now let me tell you, here's where we need to lock in. Here's the first steps to really engaging in the role of the Holy Spirit like he did in Jesus' life. The first thing is you have to surrender your life to Christ. If you don't belong to Christ, you're not going to have access to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's not going to ever give up on you. I shouldn't even mention this, but people like to think, what about if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit? I'm just going to throw a blanket comment over this, okay? If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be here today. You don't care enough to even be in this church. Blah, 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 put it to bed, research, that's another sermon, okay? But the Holy Spirit's constantly going to be with you. But be full of the Holy Spirit. Listen, a lot of us, I'm serious, guys, too often where I get a conviction, it's not because I'm not doing busy stuff. I'm a pastor. I got this title. Everything I do is supposed to be associated with the church. So what? That doesn't mean it's associated with God. only my life devoted to Him, in reading my Bible and in prayer and in witnessing and giving my heart to the Lord and letting it be applied in through my lifestyle. That's when I become full of the Spirit. And because of a result of me being in the Bible and me being in His presence and me being with Jesus, now I can be led with the Spirit. He can take me places. He can put me places. There's two things that you need to understand about that. He wants to lead us, but can He trust us? How can you trust somebody to do something that you really need to have done if you don't have confidence in them and they don't know what they're doing? A lot of times the reason we don't feel the Holy Spirit really using us and all of these other things is because we don't know enough for Him to use us. He wants us to gain a little knowledge. And listen, this isn't trying to convince you to go out and get a master's in divinity. You know, just take your time and put it yourself into the Bible. He was led of the Holy Spirit. So be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But God forbid that we leave this place without operating in the power of Christ. A life dedicated to Jesus. Time and time again, you've said this about other people, and it's probably been said of you. You gave your heart to Jesus, and they go, wow, something is different about you. And sometimes there's a little bit of obvious. Maybe you don't pick up the beer like you used to. Maybe you don't use the words you used to. Maybe you don't tell the stories you used to. Maybe your lifestyle is changed. But can I just tell you, that's only the physical evidence of something that's happened underneath that they do not understand. What a compliment to your life when someone says, wow, you are not the same person. And the Holy Spirit comes to do powerful things for us in that respect. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. We're going to sing that song that we sang right before the last one last time. But let me just give you some obstacles to this Holy Spirit conference and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. First of all would be the lack of understanding. Doesn't matter who's speaking, Brother McNabb, Rodney, or Brother Tom on Wednesday, or me this morning. You know, we can give you information. The understanding comes not because it was told to you in such a way that you could wrap your arms around it and understand it, but so that you understand it in your spirit, that you're comfortable with that. And hey, there may be some question marks exactly about all of the details, but you know what? Why would God overload you to the point to where you would be all confused inside and therefore not want His Holy Spirit? No, remember, He's compelling you. He is literally trying to bring you to a place to where He can do some fabulous things, a lack of understanding. The other thing is a lack of trust. The part of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, just like in giving our hearts to the Lord Jesus, sooner or later, you just got to admit, I need to trust Him. I need to trust Him with my life. I need to trust Him with my decisions. I need to trust Him with where I'm going. I need to trust Him with my health. I need to trust Him with my finances. This is another step of just trusting Him. Another big obstacle is pride. Just pride. I'm going to tell you, I wish I knew how to solve this, resolve this. But every altar call has an issue of pride. And I'm not talking about that you're a horrible, horrible, horrible person. I'm just saying there's that point where we really worry about our response and what it will be looked like or look at of other people more than what God would see it as. God forbid that the Lord stands somewhere one day with His arms out like me, like this, and calls to me, Dave, come here. And I'm looking around to see what the crowd thinks about this. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean it in a negative way because pride can be a really, really nasty thing. I don't mean it in that context, but do you know what that is? It's one of those issues of pride. And the last thing is this. Simply not asking. Simply not asking. How many times have we not received from the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what it is, because we just didn't ask? How many meals have you missed because you didn't ask? How many times did you not get the promotion because you didn't ask? How many times did you lose a friend because you didn't ask? How many times has God been waiting to just pour out heaven on you? You just didn't ask. Let me ask you to bow your heads with me. Close your eyes just for a second. I'm going to ask a question. It's two questions. Two questions. The first one is very, very specific. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit, we have a lot of different titles we put on that. But if you've not experienced what the disciples experienced in Acts the second chapter, verses 1 through 4, the baptism of the Holy Spirit falling, and you have the evidence of speaking with other tongues. If that has not happened to you, would you just be kind enough to put your hand up and write back down? Just write back up. We would never embarrass you. I'm telling you what, God would never embarrass you. This isn't about, oh, you didn't? You haven't? Not at all. I just wanted to tell you, I didn't record names through that. I'm just going to pray for you this week that God will do a full work in your life. A full work in your life. And I want to create some expectation, not from the pastor, but from the Holy Spirit, that He wants to do something dynamic in your life this week. Will you please give Him some time, some effort, do a little study, a little prayer? Okay, the other question is very simple. If there's something that you want the Holy Spirit to do in your life, if you want more of the Holy Spirit, it's a better way to put it. If you want more of the Holy Spirit, then raise your hand real quick. Raise your hand. Praise God. Amen. I believe this week is going to be a fabulous week. Father, in the name of Jesus, before we sing this last song and before we're dismissed today, I pray, God, that You will answer that prayer already. I pray that You'll answer that prayer right now, because You've already seen where we need to go, where we want to go, and where You want to take us. So I pray right now, Father, that the Holy Spirit will come and assure us that this week is going to be a fabulous week because of His results and not mine. Not because of a great speaker, but because of a great Savior. And I pray, oh God, that You will help us to pursue You. Father, we don't put You and Jesus aside when we have a Holy Spirit conference. We incorporate the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And today, Father, we pray Your blessings on everywhere we go from here. Now, Lord, one thing before we sing. If our life isn't the life that You want us to live, if we're making decisions, if we're going places, if we're doing things, and the Bible calls it sin, if we don't bring it to You and confess it and ask You to forgive us, oh God, then, Lord, we can expect nothing out of this week. Lord, this isn't a moment of denial. It's just a moment of awareness that we can't have Jesus in our heart if sin reigns indeed in our heart. So, Father, come, bless us, forgive us, fill us, give us a fabulous week. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.